committee meeting this evening. As we always do at the start of the meetings, we'll just start with welcoming everyone, and hopefully you can hear me. And as we are currently on presented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regard to the conduct of the meeting. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the committee today. And if you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself states the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to your microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. As all members will know, please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. I would remind members to keep their instant messaging to the following letters: Q for question, P for if you wish to propose, S if you wish to second. So, as I say, if we can keep it to that and refrain from using any other comments in the instant messaging, and in the event the two councillors propose at the same time, the person who proposed first will be taken as the proposer, and the second who proposed will be taken as the seconder. Okay, folks, so I suppose the first item is there any apologies?
We haven't received any, Chair.
Okay, thank you, sir. Is there any from the floor? No. Okay, item two is declarations of interest. Any declarations of interest from members or officers?
Chair, Hugh Gallagher. Sorry.
Go on ahead, Hugh.
Hugh Gallagher, track number 18, Ballon Road.
Okay, thank you, Hugh. Marie?
I'm Chair, item 18 as well, Ballon Road.
Okay. Any other items of declaration of interest from members or officers? No. Okay. All right, folks. Item three is the action sheet. And as we always do, we'll go through them page by page. And we need a proposer and seconder at the end. So page one, page two, page three, page four, and page five. Councillor Stokes, you've got a question. Although you're not a member of the committee, I will bring you in.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. No, Chair, just on at last month's the only action sheet on regarding Albert Basin and the park. Just maybe it was. If it would be convenient to get an update from the director on where we are with that, Chair. Thanks.
Okay. Is the director on? Yep. Michael, sir.
Hi, Chair. I take it that's me. In terms of the Albert Basin, it's our intention to bring a report back on setting up the project board to next month's SPNR committee. At this point, we are looking to appoint the consultants to take the project forward, and we hope to have a full update report for the next SPNR committee.
Thanks, Michael, and thanks, Chair, for taking me in.
Okay. Councillor Lewis, you have a question?
Chair, sure, yeah. Thank you. It was just a question there on the page 5, the tourism service level agreement to inquire if there has been any further work with the Kilkeel Development Association and the Downpatrick Rail Society, if we've managed to progress them to a stage where they can receive that next sum.
Okay, is Andy or Connor on?
Yes, thanks, Chair. I can provide an update on that. We are working very closely with both organisations, and I'm aware that the service level agreement for Kilkeel is in the process of being considered and likely to be approved in the coming days. And we have a meeting arranged with the Railway Society in Downpatrick for, I think it's next week or the week after. I'm not sure of the exact date, but I can come back to you with dates later.
Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Thank you, Connor, for the update. Thank you.
All right, folks, we have a proposal from Councillor Murray and seconded by Councillor Doran. Everyone's content with the action sheet then. Okay, moving on then is item 4, and it's the Newry City Centre Regeneration Outline Business Case. And under this, we're going to move to 4.1, which is presentation by the Hamilton Architects on the design concepts. So we have Graham and Nicola with us today, who's going to walk us through that presentation. So you're very welcome to Newry Moore and Down Council. So hand over to you, Graham.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good evening, councillors. My name is Graham McGill. I'm a partner at Hamilton Architects, and I'm joined this evening by my colleagues Nicola Donnelly, who's the Associate and Project Lead, and Richard Muir, who's Senior Manager at Deloitte. And we are here to present to you about the Newry City Centre Regeneration Project. Next slide, please. Next slide. The aim of this presentation is to outline the importance of the Newry Regeneration Programme and its constituent parts, to detail the current progress of the outline business case and its alignment to the Belfast Regional City Deal and private investment. And we will seek approval to the Project Board's recommendation to proceed with Option 7, subject to the approvals at key stage, continue to develop design, review costs and forecast cost savings, submit to BRCD to support the 8 million funding claim, and develop and implement the stakeholder engagement and communication strategy. Next slide, please. I think it's important to talk about Newry as a city in the whole and its constituents' parts and the strategic connections that we need to create within the city itself, which are sorely lacking. The main sort of constituent parts that we talk about within our proposal will be the Merchant Core, which you can see in the blue. We also have the Albert Basin to the south, the Keys Commercial District, the Newry Town Hall, and these are sort of the main constituent parts that we feel that the Newry Urban Regeneration will reconnect and refocus the city back onto its river and canals, which go right through. Next slide, please. So the aims of the regeneration are to really encourage more people into Newry City by placemaking within the city, creating linkages and focal points within the existing building fabric of the particular areas that we identified in the previous slide. By leveraging the city's natural environment and location, by opening up access to the canal and creation of public spaces, create Newry as a destination by creating an all-day economy that appeals to visitors, creating an active city centre through the diversification of offer currently housed there, and provide access to varied entertainment, retail and employment opportunities. We have the opportunity to embrace our, through sustainable economic growth, through targeted investment, infrastructure and innovation projects, and to promote growth of the city by leveraging the current uncertainty due to COVID-19 and Brexit, through reinforcing Newry City as a regional hub and gateway due to its strategic location, provide modern public services, infrastructure and buildings. This will be achieved through a comprehensive and interconnected programme of projects, of which I will go through a number of them now. So what we consider the C projects, which is the projects that are funded directly by the Council, which are the Newry Town Hall Theatre and Conference Centre and the Newry Civic and Regional Hub. as part of this, then there'll be the urban regeneration of the main core, which is the merchant core that we talked about before, and other opportunities of investment through redevelopment of the Albert Basin and development of the Southern Relief Road, and then private investment through the likes of new hotel and Grade A office accommodation throughout. Next slide, please. I will hand over to Nicola, and she will now give you an outline of the specific seed projects.
Okay. Thanks, Graham. I'm going to talk about the specific council-funded projects in context of the regeneration programme. So these are the Newry Theatre and Conference Centre and the Newry Civic and Regional Hub, what we consider seed projects, as Graham mentioned. And by that we mean their delivery will be a catalyst for further investment and regeneration within Newry City, its businesses and community. So what are the benefits of the Newry Theatre Conference Centre and Newry Civic Regional Hub? Well, their location, as you can see, they almost bookend either side of this merchant core. They are destination places, which will attract workers, families, visitors and events. So they have an urban civic square concept. They embed the arts and culture of Newry Town Hall and the theatre within the city through the performance square, which addresses the canal and the pedestrian cycle connection through Needham Bridge. And included in the vision for the regeneration programme is the provision of new Grade A office space, and the relocation of workers to the city centre is an opportunity for the development of land adjacent to the Daisy Hill site. Okay. So moving on to the core council investment projects themselves, Newry Theatre Conference Centre and the Civic and Regional Hub. So we start off with the Theatre Conference Centre. The Theatre Conference Centre project is considered the gateway to Newry City and beyond. The Town Hall, a significant listed beautiful red brick building, will be enhanced with the addition of a new theatre, an atrium and a public performance square. The project involves placemaking around Bank Square, and the Town Hall itself will be improved with a new goods lift, modernised dressing rooms and the refurbishment of some ground floor spaces. I suppose the aim of the project really is to increase the evening and daytime economy to Newry City Centre, increase the arts and culture offering to the city centre and its residents. And this project also levers the Innovation Fund and DFI Rivers Flood Alleviation Funding. And the Newry Civic and Regional Hub, this project really is a significant opportunity for the council on two fronts. Firstly, placemaking around Newry Cathedral, a creation of a new community square. This will lead to increased footfall to the city centre and in turn help benefit local small businesses based in the Newry city centre. It embraces post-COVID working patterns and capitalises on this fundamental theme, which is ongoing at the moment. Provides a regional hub which is strategically located between Belfast and Dublin, and this builds upon the success that the council already have for the Downpatrick offices, and it bookends the council region with the provision of this type of service. So there have been ongoing discussions with the Department of Finance regarding opportunities of relocating the Northern Ireland Civil Service staff within this regional hub. Okay. Alongside the core investment by the council is the Belfast Regional City Deal funded public realm work. The council have already successfully delivered in placemaking schemes through the city centre. This specific money, the Belfast Region City Deal Fund, is about the creation of high-quality destination spaces alongside the proposed Town Hall Theatre and Civic Regional Hub. This will connect to the high-quality public realm already delivered by the council. So the theatre summary, we have placemaking around Bank Parade, as I mentioned before, a gateway and an entrance to the city itself. We have Performance Square, which overlooks and addresses Newry Canal, the public path along Needham Bridge to connect to the Newry River, which in turn will connect to the rest of the merchant core. And the public realm in this area really responds to the intrinsic features which are unique to Newry in itself. The Civic and Regional Hub building, we have the placemaking around the Newry Cathedral. We have an improved relationship between this part of the city and also the Abbey Ward. The creation of a new civic urban square, an improved appearance of the city centre boundary from Abbey Way. The focus on urban and civic spaces for community events, fairs and markets. And that we see both these spaces are really important gathering and destination spaces for the citizens of Newry. And now on to Richard.
Yeah, thanks, Nicola. So I'll just cover the third strand of the regeneration. So I heard about the seed projects that the council will take forward to stimulate additional investment through the City Region deal, and then we're looking to bring forward private sector investment. So that's really in two parts. Firstly, you know, a new hotel to Newry City Centre, likely to be mid-range budget hotel that fills a gap in the market. We understand this is very likely to come forward, and that's partly due to the encouragement that they see in the council taking steps to invest in the city. And obviously there's also a really strong fit then with the theatre conferencing, which will help to drive overnight stays, and this in turn will drive expenditure in the evening economy. So in theory, the hotel could come forward on its own, but the fact that there's a regeneration programme for the city makes that far more likely. And then the second feature of private investment is a fund to support Grade A office development. And this would be funded through the City Region deal. So currently there's market failure where private sector is not coming forward to speculatively build office accommodation in Newry, despite there being a real lack of good quality office space. Newry, you know, is a very competitive location compared to Belfast and Dublin when it comes to leasing space. But as a result, you know, there's a lower return on investment for a developer. So they could, you know, for the same cost, build the same square box in Belfast or Dublin and get a higher return. So there's a viability gap, and this fund is looking at a way to try and address that barrier for investment, put Newry on the map as a key location as an investment opportunity. The operation of the fund is still to be finalised, but it's likely to be accompanied with a number of eligibility criteria, so which will help prioritise investment. So, for example, we'll be looking at the type of accommodation the developer is looking to bring forward, and obviously if it's Grade A, office, you know, high-quality office accommodation, then it's going to score more highly. You know, where is that investment going to take place? If it's in the blue zone that's marked on the map, it's more likely to score more highly as well. Equally, you know, is this an investor that's new to Newry or is an existing company looking to expand? And what is the commercial position of the applicant? So are they a well-established large-scale operator, in which case they would only attract a smaller proportion of the fund? Or are they a local indigenous company who may attract in a greater percentage? So the idea is to provide some funding to get office accommodation built and try and address the viability gap. And as I said, the mechanisms of the fund are going to be important, but that's the basis of the idea. It's seen as a very innovative way to address the barriers to investment. That's a key feature of addressing the objectives of the City Region deal to drive economic growth. So that's an overview of the three main areas of investment, council funded components, those will be funded through the City deal, and where we expect private sector investment to come forward through the hotel and office space development. So that concludes our presentation in the open session.
Okay, and apologies, Richard. I wasn't sure if you were involved in the presentation, so you as well, Richard, from Deloitte to the meeting as well. I was going to do that in the next item, but apologies about that. I would remind members that the questions that you're going to be asking is only in reference to the presentation that's just been delivered. You cannot discuss anything from a financial or legal perspective. We can do that in closed session, as our regulations do state. But I would ask that members refrain from doing that. If you do, I will come in and ask you to stop and keep to the presentation detail. Councillor Henry, do you have your hand up? But that's not a cue, so if you don't mind putting a cue into the instant messaging, I'll bring you in that way. Okay, Councillor Walker, you're first up there.
Chair, thank you very much, and thank you for the presentation, gentlemen. I want to focus on the civic center aspect of it. I asked this question maybe a year and a half ago in relation to it. A lot of hard work's been done here by yourselves and that. Have you went out to consultation to the public in and around that area? Now, when I say consultation, I mean not just the odd meeting and that, a proper consultation of this. The other question I want to ask, does this project hinge on the civic centre being part of it? Because this is a big project and I see a lot of good parts of it in that, that I believe that could progress and so on without the civic centre. So have you sent out a consultation? And I don't mean meeting two or three different groups. I mean a proper consultation. So I do. And does the project hinge on the civic centre specifically being there?
Sure, if I can maybe, it's Marie here, if I can maybe come in there. In relation to the consultation, I would have to rely on some of the consultants and Adrian and Connor just on the line. There has been a number of public sessions held, and indeed there have been letter drops across businesses in that local area as well for them to come in and feed in and, on the design specifications. Probably, I don't want to call on Nicola, but I think Nicola probably was involved in some of that work. Nicola, am I right in saying?
Thanks, Marie. I, along with my colleague Mark Priestley from Hamilton Architects, we actually carried out a public consultation exercise in the Sean Hollywood Arts Centre last December, and very much as part of our responsibilities for planning application, a public consultation exercise will continue to be carried out on the Civic Centre as it progresses into planning.
Thanks, Nicola. And just, Chair, in relation to Councillor Walker's second question, I believe that would fall under the economic case and would be part of the closed session item.
Okay, all right. Councillor Walker, I'll bring you back in under that then.
Yes, but in relation to the first aspect of it, are we sure that a proper consultation has been carried out, like we have in the past carried consultations out in relation to other projects within the district, not just to get together in the town hall or whatever, a proper full-blown consultation?
Sure, I think if it gives Councillor Walker any comfort, and again would call on Adrian maybe to confirm, but all of the consultation was definitely not a get-together in the Sean Hollywood Arts Centre. It was an advertised consultation session in our local papers and online. Am I correct in saying that, Adrian?
Yes, absolutely. So the consultation that was held towards the end of last year was published in local media and also sent out on local social media channels as well. I personally actually did letter drops to properties that directly neighbour or overlook the site, and we held a session within the Sean Hollywood Arts Centre on that occasion. And there will of course be further consultations to be had. I think that's one of the recommendations of the report to take that and develop it for further approval.
Okay. All right. Councillor Stokes.
Yeah, thanks, Chair, for taking me in again. First of all, thanks again for the presentation from the consultants. Still get very excited every time I see the town hall and the arts centre. Just to ask the consultants, did they look at all at the economic impact of the loss of the car park at behind Uri Cathedral and how that may impact on local business? Thanks, Chair.
Sure. Again, I would suggest that falls into the economic appraisal question and can be addressed in closed session.
Okay. All right, Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chairperson. Is my microphone on?
Yep, we can hear you, Cadoog.
Yeah, I noticed that the office space was labelled post-COVID office space, which I felt was a contradiction in terms. One would have felt our experience over the last 6 months would have demonstrated that we don't need large amounts of office space, and our staff are perfectly capable and indeed trusted to work, if necessary, from home. I'm just concerned we're building a very large amount of office space that actually isn't needed, and that our economic model is out of date.
Chair, again, I come in on that. And what I would say to the councillor is, yes, we have been able to work from home during this COVID period and will continue to do so as the restrictions apply. However, the effectiveness and the organisational heart is in bringing people together and in offices. I think the model has changed and will definitely remain changed for eternity, I would suggest, for everyone. There's a number of studies across the entire globe on the need or not need for office space. And I suppose that move to a post-COVID office space is more around collaboration space. So what we have been working on over the last number of months is how that space can be utilised in the most effective way. So that is very much about bringing staff together for the purposes of collaboration, obtaining the strategic direction of the organisation, and ensuring we secure the culture of the organisation as well. We've been trialling things like this collaboration space in the Downshire in recent, I think probably over the last month as well. So the model is being tested and we are seeing it working. We have staff coming to the offices to work and have had for the last number of months, and indeed feedback from staff would be that they would like a mix, I suppose, of homework versus office-based work. So I think there's a balance to be struck in all things.
Okay. All right. Councillor McKee.
Yes, thanks, Chair. In relation to office space, the exact same question I was going to ask, but I think you have it reasonably well answered, Marie, that there has to be changes made around that, because we know the situation and there's so much work been done at home. So I'm not so sure why office space will be the word to be used from here on. The other thing I noticed, and was just mentioned, was working for what sort of consultation was done around in your morning down council staff who will, it appears to me from my reading, will then be moved and based to the Downpatrick site. Is that, am I right in what I'm seeing there, yeah?
No, Chair, definitely not. I'm not sure where that's been picked up at. There's not an intention to move staff from Uri to Downpatrick. Indeed, it would be our intention to ensure that we secure the political hub in Uri as well as Downpatrick. It's something that we see as actually critically important to establishing and retaining Uri's status as a city, is having the heart of democracy in Uri City itself. So there will always be a Uri and a Downpatrick office, I would suggest.
Chair, could I just ask that question? I'm not going to ask it again, but maybe the consultants could maybe question. It would be maybe the sixth question, at least, that showed that working for Newry Mourne Down County Council, I think it was, we're saying council staff, and something based to the Downpatrick site. I'm not sure what I'm reading or what is right. Maybe somebody could explain that better.
Yeah, that was probably in response to what I had said, and really what we see the civic and regional hub is building sort of exactly what you have in Downpatrick, and building on that successful model that you already have and bringing it to Newry. So really the civic and regional hub for Newry would mirror exactly what's already in Downpatrick.
That's okay, thank you. Thanks, Chair.
No problem. Richard, I see your hand up there.
Yeah.
I don't know your weather come in.
Thank you. Yeah, just in relation to those last couple of questions from councillors, I think it's important to remember, this concept has been long established, been worked on for the last couple of years, and what we're describing, the civic element or component, is now more a civic regional hub, and that's exactly in response to COVID and people more closer to home, and what Nicola outlined in her presentation of the interest from the civil service to look at opportunities for using that space. And it's exactly that. It's, people don't need to be making those journeys to sit in meeting for a couple of hours in Belfast or elsewhere. They can, if they're based in and around Newry, they can come in to connect with their colleagues and link in with elsewhere within Northern Ireland and beyond. So that concept of a hub in Newry, as has been developed in Downpatrick, is to provide something similar in Newry, and there's already interest from other parts of the public sector to participate in that. So the concept of the civic hub has sort of evolved and become broader in terms of a regional hub.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Richard, for that. Councillor Murphy.
Thanks, Gareth. And I'd just like to highly commend the team for the work they have done to date. I was one of the people, before I became a councillor, attended the consultation that was, give everybody an opportunity that wanted to take a look at what was being proposed. And, even though I'm not from Newry City, I'm from South Arvada, but, this is going to have a massive impact on the people, for the people of South Armagh as well as South Down, and Newry, of course. But, I have a number of questions that probably fall under the economic appraisal part of the discussion, so I'll just leave it until then.
All right. Thank you, Councillor Murphy. Yeah, Councillor Brown.
Thank you, Chair. I hope all the Downpatrick area councillors, including myself, are listening very closely to this. We've just literally heard that this is basically an attempt to make Newry the political as well as the economic centre of the council. I have no problem. It makes sense. Newry being the economic hub, that's grand. But Downpatrick needs something as well. And I fear that this is a significant duplication of services, but it's also most worryingly going to mean the displacement of Downpatrick area jobs from the council, and all council activity being focused in Newry, which is very concerning given the ongoing lack of investment in Downpatrick over many years. But to get to the questions, Chair, I want to ask first, in terms of the cathedral, this proposed site for the civic centre is obviously pretty much in their backyard. So I just wanted clarity over exactly how and when the cathedral, the diocese, has been consulted as part of this process. I'd also like to know how elected reps were notified about the meeting in the Sean Hollywood Centre. I missed the invite to that, but I don't remember seeing it. And also, what were the results of that consultation, and where are they as well? Have those been fed back to councillors? Maybe I missed it, but I think it's very important that we see the details of that consultation. And I'd also like to ask the consultants, is there any examples in Northern Ireland of other councils, following the merger in 2014, of other councils that have two major civic hubs, or have they generally focused on one main hub?
Okay. I think I'll ask the consultants, first of all, if you wouldn't mind answering other councils.
Sure. Yeah, Chair, if I could just come in first, because I think it's really critically important that I do. I have to say, because I would not want our staff in Downpatrick nor people in the Downpatrick area to have any concerns about relocation or moving jobs from Downpatrick from the point of view of the council. This council back in 2015 made a decision that they would be a two centre hub and that they would have jobs based in both Newry and Downpatrick. The council model has been designed and the council structures have been designed to ensure that is the case and that we retain jobs in both the Newry and Downpatrick areas. So there is absolutely no attempt in this project to transfer any jobs from Downpatrick. I think the reflections have been that the Downpatrick hub is a success and we would like to mirror it on the Newry side. So it would be wrong and I could not have the staff in Downpatrick thinking that they were going to be relocated. That is absolutely not the intention, Chair.
Okay. All right, thank you, Marie. I was going to ask the consultants if they wouldn't mind answering, first of all, the question around other councils that have two major civic hubs. And then I think it's probably more Adrian to answer around the cathedral, the elected reps and Sean Hollywood and the results on that consultation. I think Nicola may feed into that. But Richard, I see your hand up there. Nope.
Chair, would you like me to come in on the three questions that were asked?
Yeah, please, Adrian, yeah.
Okay, the first thing in relation to the discussions with the diocese and the cathedral, we have met with the diocese on a number of occasions. We've also met with the cathedral in terms of the parish representation. And at their own request, they want us to treat those discussions as confidential. So I couldn't say much more than that, other than that we consider them to be positive. In relation to the second question and the invite that was sent to elected members, I think it was via email from memory in advance of the session actually happening. But I'm happy to check that and advise. And in terms of the feedback from that consultation, it's ongoing is the straight answer to that. And with all consultation, of course, the findings will be reviewed and analysed and fed back via a consultation report in advance of any further decisions being taken.
Okay, and so, Chair, in relation to the question about other council areas and having the two major civic hubs, I suppose with RPA taking place in 2015, there are some council areas which obviously have merged, or all council areas have merged really, and they will still have their two major civic hubs. If you think of Fermanagh and the Uma District Council, you know, there's still a hub in Enniskillen as well as a hub in Uma, and I'm sure with Banbridge, Craigavon, Armagh, Banbridge, Craigavon, you know, they will still have their individual hubs as well, but I couldn't possibly comment on what their, you know, how they would see that, how they're going to develop and, you know, look at the services or how their makeup and how they're going to be strategically located within their council areas. But I haven't worked with other council areas myself personally, so I really can only comment just off the top of my head.
No, thank you, Nicola.
Sorry, Chair. Sorry, it's Richard again. Sorry, I took my hand down and I thought I just came off mute, but I hadn't. Just to echo what Nicola's saying, the New Navi and Antrim is something I can think of where, you know, they've, you know, there are existing councils who have invested heavily in their civic infrastructure and obviously maintain that and work on in two parts of the district. So I think. But as I said, I'm not close enough to how they're developing those further. I think what Newry and Mourne have done and Downpatrick is, you know, ahead of where other councils have taken, you know, the collaboration around public services. And I think it's you know, a reflection that seems a success and that you're getting the interest from the civil service to see, is there an opportunity to do something similar in Newry? And just to be clear to the council, raised the question about displacement from Downpatrick. The business case is built on the existing provision in Newry in Monaghan Row only. It's not built for anything larger than that. There's no consideration of a shift of activities from any other part of the council. It's just like for like in terms of what is already provided from Newry, and then the tying it back to the post-COVID, it's recognising that the space could potentially, you know, it's about improving efficiency and use of space, creating opportunities for more collaboration, more open plan, modern working spaces, and therefore to maximise the use of the space, that's what creates the opportunity to look at other agencies, other parts of the public sector working collaboratively in that space with the council. So it's absolutely not about you're creating excess capacity that needs to be filled from any other part of the district.
All right, thank you very much, folks. Councillor Savage, you're next.
Yes, sir, can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Yes, first of all, I'd like to thank the consultants for all the work they've done to date and everybody involved in trying to put together the whole regeneration scheme for the city. As a Newry councillor, I want to put it very firmly on the record that we want to make a success of this. We want to bring investment to our city, and I commend all the officials to date and the consultants and the work that they have done. I am exceptionally relieved to hear the term that the consultation is ongoing, because if we are totally honest about it, the benchmark in relation to what consultation is and what consultation does in our council was set very recently by the fantastic consultation process we carried out in relation to the Albert Basin Park. We got community engagement at every level, despite the COVID outbreak, and as a result of that, we've reeled buy-in to a project that the local community will shape. And while I see all merits, as does the SDLP and all the strands of our city regeneration scheme, and the SDLP supports all the strands of it, we have concerns in relation to the civic hub element. We've voiced those concerns, and we would like those interrogated over the coming months as part of the ongoing consultation process. It's very important that the consultation process goes beyond what is recorded in council papers as being public briefings and business briefings. I attended those briefings. They weren't significantly attended in any shape or form. I believe we need to move on in the consultation process. That's why at the August SPNR meeting, followed by ratification at the September council meeting, that the council agreed to wait the consultants' reports coming through and asked for further consultation on one element of the scheme, which related to the civic hub, due to concerns that were been raised in the business and local community here, which we believe we must address to bring people with us. This is a significant expenditure from our council, and we want to bring our key stakeholders, our ratepayers, and everybody with us on this scheme. I believe it has the potential to regenerate our city. I'm somebody who also believes that we need to ensure that we spread our wealth across the whole district. And I do believe that the two-centre approach will work if it's properly handled. And that's why I would ask the question in relation to, you know, in the way forward, how are we going to facilitate, which is in the standing orders of council, a motion that was passed at the September monthly meeting that state that the council agrees to wait the consultant's report on the proposed civic hub, which they presented, and agrees not to go to tender or submit a planning application on the scheme until this is re-evaluated by council and the recommendations of that re-evaluation are put to an extensive public consultation. Now, I believe the solution to this lies in our project board, which will be the personnel involved in that will be our local councillors, who will feed in at the shaping process, working with yourselves as consultants to ensure that we do get the consultation that I feel is very badly needed on this element of the project. I feel to date it has fallen short of what we really need to do to get real community engagement. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had some of the vocal concerns raised, and us as the SDLP stepping in to ensure that we had an amended motion at that meeting in August, which kept the wheels moving on this project. We do not want to jeopardise in any shape or form the potential city deal money that's coming to our city. We want to ensure that we get this project right, and that's why it's very important that going ahead, I believe that the project board shapes, along with the consultants, the level of consultation that we have on that, particularly on that element of concern around the civic hub, but on the whole project in general. And I feel that really what I would like to know would be, going forward, how are we going to meet that council policy effectively of re-evaluating that element of it as it was raised at the council meeting in August? And how can we try and achieve the same sort of benchmark of public consultation that was achieved on the Albert Basin Park for this scheme? I firmly believe that if this is done, we will bring our people with us. It's about informing them, letting them shape this project, letting them have their views, let their concerns be raised. And that encompasses everybody from the business community, the local ratepayers, the ordinary man and woman in the street, and of course Newry Parish, which is a significant player in the consultation process in this. So really what I'm looking for are answers into how going forward we can embrace that decision that was made back in August and ratified in September, that we do reevaluate that element of it. And mainly in a post-COVID world, I think some of the councillors previously have outlined that a commitment to large office space in a post-COVID world needs to be redefined. It needs to be clarified. And we need to be sure that what we're investing in is going to enhance the economic stability of our city and encourage growth economically, and Newry becomes the city it was destined to be from 2002. So, Chair, really, the main question I would ask would be how the next steps are going to embrace that motion, and how the consultants feel that they will work with the project board, ensuring that by the time we get to making a decision on the capital expenditure in this project, that we feel that we've brought our people with us. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Chair, and if I could just come in on that again, if you don't mind. I suppose, Chair, what I would say to the councillor, council officials have been following the direction of council from as far back as 2015, possibly even 2014, when the councils were a merger, in the desires to develop these projects, and indeed have continued to follow the direction of council again when they confirmed their support in October or September of 2019 to the development of the project again. And council officials will continue to follow the direction of council in relation to the actions that came from the notice of motion, and indeed that's recognised in the paper presented tonight. I think it's possibly, because I don't have it in front of me, but it's possibly recommendation D of the report that talks about the project board being responsible for the management of a consultation in relation to this project, and we will rely on the councillors on that project board to give direction to the council officials as to how we handle that, so the council can have my reassurance that that will happen.
Yes, I welcome that element, and I did duly note it. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So hopefully that's clarified your concerns, sir, Councillor Savage. Councillor Byrne, are you there, Pete?
Yeah, sorry, I'm in the chamber here, so I was pressing the wrong button on my laptop. Yeah, I suppose I'm going to come in, obviously, on the economic side afterwards, and I know there's, if there's something that I'm not meant to say here, just feel free to cut me off. But just on maybe some of the comments that went from councillors previously, and Councillor Walker talking about a proper consultation process, I've become a councillor 5 years, just over maybe 4 years, and I mean all the way through since I got on to this council in 2016, have been involved in this process, have been the SDLP member for the City Deal, the chair of the project board now, have consistently sat on SBNR and consistently engaged in this process. So when I got into the council, I was looking through the 2015-2019 corporate plan, and this was on it, the Civic Centre was on it. We did discuss a number of sites as well, and I remember having a number of meetings where we discussed other sites, and we all focused on the one site, and we unanimously agreed to draw proposals for that site at a council meeting that I think was back in 2018. Just when Councillor Brown was talking about the presentation and the consultation that was in the Arts Centre, I was at it, sitting in the front row of it, and it certainly was extremely detailed. It took a lot of questions. It did, as Councillor Savage had said, there were a number of issues about the entire plan that worried people, that people felt as if we needed to look into more extensively, and we commit to do that the whole way through this project. I have to reiterate, as a member of the project board on the City Deal, that we are on outline business case stage. You know, so we need to be careful about where we're talking about things as if it's in full business case, and people are talking about shovel-ready stuff, and we're an outline business case, so we're coming with a concept, a very, very ambitious concept for Newry, and there will be issues with some parts of it, and that's only, you know, normal that people will have issues with some of the strands. We have 5 strands on Newry City Centre Regeneration on the Belfast City Deal, on that project. We also have, you know, the Gateway to the Mons project, we've got infrastructure projects, Southern Reef Road, we've got broadband element of it, we've got skills and viability and training with colleges. So the City Deal itself is enormous, and I think the more we talk about it and try and condense it down into just the Civic Centre, I think we do ourselves a disservice here. But yeah, I'm conscious that people will have issues with it. I'm conscious and open that the SDLP as a group have issues and concerns about consultation. That's why the SDLP had brought an amendment to a motion that had come back in August to go out and consult publicly on this. And that we wouldn't go to tender or plan until we have that public consultation. But this whole process is an ongoing consultation. We're consulting day in, day out, and through all the meetings we're asking difficult questions. But what we're asking now is that we have an opportunity from the City Deal and the funding that we can draw down. Sorry, that's actually, I'm not going to the funding, I'll stay off that.
Yeah.
But we have an option from the City Deal that when Councillor Walker had said, does this project hinge on one part? And he specifically said the Civic Centre. And we're not going into specifics on it. When we applied for funding for the City Deal, it is based on creating jobs to attract private investment into our district. And there's a number of different criteria in order to avail of that funding, to pass the funding. And we'll see that now with the submission of the OBC To remove certain elements of projects is going to affect that, but we will have to discuss that at whatever stage that decision is taken. Right now, we're talking about putting in the OVC for independent economic appraisal. We need to be ambitious about this. We need to speak up our district. We need to try our best to get in as much funding as we can and to create jobs in a COVID environment where it has pushed us into a new world, COVID. So when we're talking about duplication of services, and I'll only be another minute, Chair, here. When we're talking about the duplication of services, in a COVID world, it's pushing us towards that. It's not pushing us to have one centre in such an enormous district. And this is coming from somebody who doesn't like the three-hour round trip to Downpatrick anyway, so I'm completely sold on keeping our people in Newry. So we already have people in Monaghan Row here. To move all the staff out of Monaghan Row and to Downpatrick will have me shouting from the rooftops about it, because I think it's the wrong thing to do. Newry is the economic centre. Newry is in perfect geographical place between Dublin and Belfast. Whether you're talking about Brexit or post-COVID, people do want to work closer to home. They don't want to travel as much. So we need to think of new ways in order to deliver flexible workspace for people. So it's difficult conversations, I understand that, but it's conversations that we must have and we can't stick our head in the sand. And finally, just on the other council areas that have two chambers, I learned the hard way. Going to the leadership training course on the first day. I was late because I went to Antrim and Newton Abbey, and I was sitting in the lobby. It was actually an hour early for the meeting, and I sat in the lobby only to walk in 5 minutes before and told I was in the wrong centre. So other councils do it, and we should, with a district this size, ensure that we have got centres in Downpatrick and Newry. But yes, difficult conversations, and right through this process we will be consulting, I've no doubt about that.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Werner. Not sure there's any questions there though, so I'll move on to Councillor Mulderay.
Thank you very much, Chair. I have the pleasure of co-chairing the committee here with Pete and a number of other councillors. And, you know, I mean, this has been discussed, the new Civic Centre for Newry has been discussed for at least a decade, and certainly before our two councils amalgamated, it was always something that was very much on the table as being deemed essential for the Newry area. And whenever we come up with any of these projects, we ask our staff to go out to see, you know, if there's any external funding that can help deliver them. And a couple of years ago when City Deal started to be talked about, you know, this was one of the ones that we jumped on, because City Deals is probably the most exciting package of funding to come into our district ever. But it's expected to deliver a lot, and we want it to deliver a lot. And I'm very pleased to say that, you know, the spread of the funding from City Deal is across this district, which reflects how diverse and complex our district is. But again, you know, we as a council unanimously passed the location of our civic centre over a year ago at full council meeting. And, you know, we then charged our officers with a task to go out and make this happen. Now, you know, it's a level of concern for me, you know, that we would be sort of confusing them as to what direction we have given them. I was very clear a year ago that, you know, something was unanimously passed. We had asked them to go and work up a project in terms of delivery. And, you know, I'm still on board with that. There is a level of confusion within our community, because I've been stopped by people and people seem to be playing two projects off each other. Some people are saying we're coming out of a park instead of the civic centre. I'm not in this council to deliver one or other. And nor are any of my colleagues for Newry City. We intend to deliver them all for Newry City. But this pot of funding is about the Civic Centre, the Grade A office space, and the arts and theatres. You know, I think we also have an opportunity here which we can't overlook in terms of having a social clause, you know, tied into this, because we've talked about coronavirus here and, or sorry, COVID-19 as we now call it. And, you know, even the construction here will deliver a lot of jobs for people in this area. And there are going to be a lot of people in our area are going to be made unemployed. There's no doubt about that. And if you look up in the Dublin Road and you're in, you see all the young people that are heading off to Dublin for construction jobs. Wouldn't it be an absolute delight to have them involved in learning their trade and being employed within their own district? So I think there's huge possibilities there in terms of employment. I'm also incredibly proud that we have some of the best schools within our district, and yet we ship our people off day and daily to Belfast and Dublin for employment. And we're talking again about changes in work situations, you know, in a post-COVID world. And it's better for our environment for people to work locally so that they're not travelling, you know, and using energy to travel. It's better for people's mental health because it gives them a good home-work balance. You know, and the other thing that we need to touch on as well is we are concerned about our future of Daisy Hill. The Trust is very clear. They want Monaghan Row. We're very clear. Monaghan Row does no longer fits the purpose of council. You know, so as soon as we can get an appropriate building for our staff, it is going to give the opportunity for our hospital to expand and grow as is fit for a city of the size of Newry. So I think it's very important that we remember that. I was really pleased from a Newry point of view whenever I saw the presentation the first time that it touched on the canal, because my father's family were all involved in Fisher's Coal Yard and worked on the ships and what have you. And I know how important the canal is to the people of Newry. And when the canal was a functioning trade thoroughfare, Newry was a bustling, busy town, and it served places like Bessbrook, where you had a mill of 3,000 people. You know, it was an industrial place, but that time has gone, and I really believe that this is our opportunity to put Newry back on the map. And I went to the public consultations. All councillors were invited to those public consultations, as all councillors are invited to them all. And I remember having quite a lengthy conversation with some of the groups that would be involved in the arts and music within our district, and how excited they were to have a first-class facility that they can use and others from outside the district can come in and use. And that in itself will have a huge effect on our nighttime economy. It'll encourage people to stay in our hotels and you know, to eat out in our restaurants and to shop in our shops. So I think, you know, the canal was part of Newry's past. I really firmly believe that this is part of Newry's future. The consultation will be ongoing. Before anything is put in, you know, there will be a planning application. Everybody will have the right at every stage to have their feelings heard. But we have to get ready. You know, this is an incredibly competitive process, and we need to make sure that we are ready to put our bid in to the Belfast City Region deal. If we are found napping on this and we lose the potential for this funding, we will be severely judged by people. Where else would we get that level of funding? It is economic suicide if we do not continue on with this. And in our papers this week, we've seen where Newry was recognised for enterprise and resilience. Well, its council must also show enterprise and resilience. So I think this is a superb project, and I am delighted to co-chair it and fully supportive of it. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Nuddery. Councillor Clark's the last one that's on my screen, so after him we will move to the next part of this item. So Councillor Clark.
Thanks very much. I agree with the previous two speakers, Pete and Roisin, in regards to that we do have to be really positive about this initiative and these proposals. They'll be a game changer for Newry, no doubt. But it'll also improve the region, the council region in general, moving forward. I've heard a number of councillors talking, you know, in regards to why there was to be a civic centre in Newry, and as previous speakers have said, it was always that intention to have a civic centre in Newry. That's what we agreed, even in Down Legacy Council. We had discussions even among our partners, our colleagues in Newry and Mourne, Sinn Féin, in regards to how we'd progress the two-hub solution. And it was about to protect jobs in both areas. And some of the speakers who were speaking earlier were very much up for that. In fact, it was the opposite. They were arguing when it was in Down Council at times that it had to be two centres. So when we get to this stage, I find it very confusing, to say the least. I think what we, I remember my discussions was that it was to protect the jobs in Downpatrick and surrounding areas, and also for the economic benefits of that for the town centre or in Downpatrick, people doing their shopping and getting something to eat and all them sorts of things, and also economic spin-offs from local procurement and that. So I'm no doubt that there was always going to be a civic centre. My only, what I didn't know about what that civic centre would look like, where it would be located, that was the only thing that I didn't know. I knew it was coming though. If we look at in regards to the Down proposal, the Downshire site, it was to be the one-stop shop in that area, and that's what it turned out to be. We got public sector jobs. We had the fisheries brought into it. We had the planners brought in. That was even before the council took responsibility of planning on that. We were already moving in that direction. We had PSNA, housing executive. We had the health service, the fire service. So we'd be all these different departments and organisations in the building. And that's what I envisage this building to be about. And I think that's what the consultation needs to be really focused on, how we use the building. And we talk about post-COVID. How's the building going to be shaped? What's the use is going to be? Particularly keen for public sector jobs to be coming down into the Newry area. That gives us a greater strength also, where you have departmental jobs in our district, in our council area, in our city. That gives us greater leverage, folks, in regards to bringing inward investment into our district as well. I was at most of the consultations in regards to, and many meetings in regards to the civic centre and the arts centre and the theatre and the public realm. And indeed, when we needed more discussions on the civic centre, we met with the chief executive and the party, our party, for more discussions on how the different sites were ruled out moving forward and how we ended up on this particular site. So we had all them discussions long, long time ago, folks. And what I will say, and I don't want to hold the meeting up, Chair, but what I will say, some of the people raising the issues tonight were not at any of the consultations. I never seen them in any of the consultations whatsoever. So it's the same old cry from when the proposals are moving towards the final stages or the next stage where the project board will take over. And they start this political grandstanding. Everybody wants to see their town centres regenerated. I want to see Newcastle, extra investment in Newcastle, new leisure centre in Newcastle, improvements Newcastle Harbour. I have them issues, and people in Downpatrick want to see the regeneration in Downpatrick, Ballinlinch, the same. You know, all these areas want the same, and it should be about us all, because at the end of the day, this will be high quality jobs, construction, as Roisin said as well, a greater rate space for us as well, extra jobs, a new hotel in the area, quality accommodation, bringing more high paid jobs into the area, which is a boost then for the high street as well, and a boost for the private sector. What I do, and I have a motion coming on later, is in regards to the social clauses that are pre-procurement stage. I want to see more people, long-term unemployed, getting jobs on these big schemes, looking at apprenticeships on these schemes. So people, as Roisin said, don't have to go way down to Dublin. And this is what this is about, folks. And you can disguise it in whatever way you want. If we look at the health component, and Roisin's touched on it, and there's a paper coming on later that the Health Trust are basically looking to move it.
Sorry, Councillor Clark, we can't touch on that. That item is in committee, so we should touch on that.
Dead on, I won't touch. Sorry, I'm going to finish up anyway. As I said, at the end of the day, we need to be working together on this, and particularly in regards to the City D. We're talking about the gateway to the Moors, the Southern Relief Road, and this Civic Centre and regeneration of Newry. We need to work united in this, folks, moving forward, because I'm in the Belfast City D as well as Pete, We're aware that there's a lot of projects and maybe not enough money. And so there are criteria of scoring mechanisms in regards to this. And we need to ensure that we progress this as quickly and consult with the people, appropriately along the journey. But the project, I'm a trust in the project board that they will do that. I've seen the project boards working when they delivered the Civic Centre in Downpatrick and how they worked efficiently. So my trust is in the project board moving forward, and I just think we need to move on, folks, and get these projects delivered.
All right, thank you, folks. Okay, so as members will see, items 4.2 and 4.3 are in committee. So the following items are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may by resolution be excluded during the items of business. So I do need a proposal and seconder to go into committee, please. Okay, proposed by Councillor McGuinness and seconded by Councillor Brown. Yep, no problem. I'm waiting for you to give me the nod, sir.
Yeah, they're starting to come back in.
Okay. Yep. Is that us, sir? Yep, okay. All right, so while in committee for item 4, the New York City Centre Regeneration Outline Business Case, under the item, the outline business case was considered and agreed on the proposal of Councillor O'Murray, seconded by Councillor Murphy, that elected members consider the contents of the report, the Newry Civic Centre Regeneration Outline Business Case Executive Summary and Presentation as presented to the NCCR Programme Board, that members approve the following recommendations from the NCCR Programme Board. That A, that option 7 is the preferred option for the NCC programme, subject to ongoing council approvals at key stages as summarised at Annex A. B, that design development continues alongside cost forecast and value engineering options. C, that council submit the full OBC to the Belfast Region City Deal Programme Management Office to support council's claims for 8 million funding. And D, that the programme board develop and implement the next stakeholder engagement and communication plan. Okay, folks, moving on then to item 5, which is the notice of motion referred from council meeting held on the 5th of September 2020. Councillor Clark, you're more than welcome to speak on it first.
Good man. Am I back up again?
No. Sorry. If you just make sure that you're both your microphone on and your speaker that are on your laptop are both turned off. That should stop that echo.
That's it,
right? Still a slight echo. If everybody in the chamber makes sure that they're...
Mine's muted, so...
That's better now, I think.
Better.
Yeah, it's better now, Willie.
Yeah, that's you.
That's okay. Thanks very much, Chair. It's been a long sort of night already, so we'll come to the chase.
You have both your laptops looking to be shown if you're also using the chamber microphone. Is that what it is?
Just put it on. Put your laptop on mute, Willie.
It's on mute.
Chair, can I just check, is it okay for the consultants to leave?
Yes, thank you very much, Richard.
Okay.
I think the others have left already.
All right. Thank
you
very much.
I've muted you now. You should be able to speak now, okay, through the chamber, Mike?
Right. I'm sorry about that, folks.
Good assistance in there as well. Well done.
I wish we could mute people. The motion aims to increase the social value component in major procurement contracts. As we have just discussed tonight in great detail, there's a number of major projects that the council is going to be developing in the future. We discussed the new regeneration, the civic centre, the public realm, the theatre complex. The city deal proposals was discussed as well. The Newcastle Gateway project, the Southern Relief Road, it's a DFI-led project, but still social clauses will be coming in from the DFI department. Proposed Newcastle Leisure Centre, development of the Barrack site in Tempadic, to name but a few. Social impact clauses at pre-procurement stage, it's important to include them before you award the contract. I've raised this on numerous occasions in regards to even in Down Legacy Council, where I just feel lip service was paid to including social clauses into the contracts, and I think it's important that we bring forward a social value strategy. So everything that the council is doing, they're bearing in mind the need for them social clauses to be in the contracts. A social value strategy should provide, you know, more creative use of social clauses in the tender documents to tackle poverty, disengagement, multiple deprivation. Tender should reinforce the need for contracts to provide job placements for the long-term unemployed and apprentice opportunities as well. And I'll not go into too much more detail, as I said, Chair, you're pressed for time as it is, but I think it's important that, as the motion says, that we need to tackle zero-R contracts as well, and council and encourage partners as well through our community planning partnership to do likewise, because we've seen during the pandemic how vulnerable people on zero-R contracts were. I think we used the term casual staff. They had no rights whatsoever and were left in a poor situation until we did find a way to ensure that they got some income moving forward. But if you look at the position they're in now, even more, moving forward where the furloughing is ending, people in zero-hour contracts will be in great need moving forward. So I think it's important that the strategy or the social value strategy that we're doing deals with them issues once and for all, and to improve the lives of all our workforce and ensure that everybody has a living wage. I propose the motion, Chair.
Thank you very much, Councillor Clark. Councillor Brown, you have a question.
Thanks, Chair.
Of course. Need a second.
Well, the motion was proposed and seconded at full council. Councillor Clark, so it's being referred to here, and then there is an officer's report that we do need a proposer and seconder for. Sorry, Councillor Brown, go ahead.
No problem. Look, I'm happy to propose or second officer's report on this if it is needed. I think it's a very worthwhile motion. As Councillor Clark alludes to, we have had this discussion before in the last term, I think, and we've been sort of given the answer by officers that it can be, you know, legally difficult to sort of insert these clauses into our procurement policies. I don't believe that is actually necessarily the case. Maybe officers on the line can come back on this. I was on the phone with someone from the Community Bank Foundation today and Development Trust NI, and they're sort of saying the legislation that we don't have via Stormont, that's legislation that we forced councils and public authorities to have a social value clause or something like that. But there's nothing in legislation at the moment that stops us from pursuing our own path. There's no shove at the minute from central government, but that doesn't stop us from going out and doing it ourselves. And there wouldn't be any legal comeback from, say, preferencing businesses that did have those, you know, CSR, social value, mutual, you know, cooperative models or structures within their business models. So if officers could weigh in on that, I'd greatly appreciate it, because I don't believe that we are perhaps as limited as has been made out in the past.
Okay. Karina? Is that true?
Chair, just a point of information. Chair, Councillor Hanlon seconded my motion at council, and she should have been proposing the motion and first speaking on it. She dropped out, so she couldn't do that.
Yeah, I've noted that she has lost connection. The way that the motion comes from council is that you have proposed it, so you would be invited to move it and be discussed what we can do and do. Acknowledge Councillor Hanlon has lost connection, so I'm assuming that she would be proposing
back on the line, I think, Chair, so I'm happy that Councillor Hanlon,
but she should have been enforced.
Yeah, so I would say that Councillor Hanlon can propose and Councillor Brown would second it, because she did lose the connection, if Councillor Brown's happy with that.
Oh, yes, sorry, Chair, yeah, that's grand.
Okay, sorry, Councillor Hanlon.
Thank you. Thanks.
Do you want me to come in, Chair, and Councillor Brown, or do you want? I suppose I'll talk to the paper while I'm here. If that's okay. You'll see at section 2 of the paper, Councillor Brown, that it's already noted that our current procurement policy does make reference to certain elements of social value, and we do already incorporate those where we can. Recognising that Councillor Clark and Hanlon's notice of motion does go further and ask us to go further, and certainly, you know, the sentiment's already embedded in some of our practices, and as officers we're recommending that the notice of motion is passed tonight, then we will certainly research this further and bring back further proposals to take that bit further. In keeping with the notice of motion.
Chairman.
Councillor Riley, you have your hand up, but you don't have a cue in, so I wasn't acknowledging your hand. So if you want to speak, put a cue in to speak.
It's just on the issue of tendering. You will know from your own experience in public life that under the present regulations, we have a 7-day standoff period where competitors can come in and contest tenders. And I think it was Wally there that said about the Southern Link Road or Southern Relief Road. And, you know, any tender like that, you have to have it has to be internationally tendered. But what I wanted to ask Dorenia is, whenever we leave the EU, will we be able to set aside some of these very stringent EU tendering laws to allow local companies to tender? Because it was every time I've asked for things like Analogue Bridge, the present one, to be tendered for, we were told, no, you can't do that under EU laws, you have to do this and that. So I agree wholeheartedly with the motion and Willie and Una, but unless we can get by the present very stringent laws that are part and parcel of the EU membership, we won't be able to do that. But definitely it's a good motion. Thank you.
Okay. Dorina?
Yeah. I suppose the short answer is we're still unclear what will happen post Brexit, and it's very much determined as to what way the UK deal with our Brexit and with the laws and how they unravel. So at this stage we're unclear. And are waiting on legal guidance on that, but it's there is no clarity on that at the minute. So until such times as we do get clarity, we will continue, and obviously we will continue at the minute. So just the point is that standstill periods are only for those higher value contracts, like as you alluded to, Councillor Riley, they don't apply to all contracts. It does go on the value of the contract, the standstill.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, folks. We have proposal from Councillor Hannon, seconded by Councillor Brown. Everyone's in agreement? Yep, okay. Moving on then to item 6, which is the terms of reference for the Strategic Finance Working Group. So for those that were in attendance on Monday, this should be common to them. We just need a proposer and seconder on that, unless there's any questions. Proposed Councillor Enright, seconded by... I'm happy to second that. Okay. All right, folks, everyone's in agreement? Yeah. Okay, moving on then to item 7, which is the annual assessment of the Directorate Business Plans 2019-2020. And I'll hand over to you, Dorina.
Yeah, so councillors, this is our look back on the 19-20 year. We're presenting tonight the business plans of the Corporate Services Directorate and the Chief Executives Directorate. As is our usual format, we advise you and put it into a traffic light system of where we have achieved target or where we have slipped on target. You'll note that a number of year-end targets may be slipped because we got we were dealing with COVID. Anything that has slipped will have been picked up in the new plans for this year, which you've already seen. So happy to take any comments or questions, and we're asking you to agree those tonight.
Okay, any comments or questions? If not, just need a proposer and seconder on that item, please. Proposed Councillor Byrne, seconded Councillor Gallagher. Okay, everyone's in agreement? Yep. Okay, moving on then to item 8, and it's the Draft Irish Language Strategy 2020-2023, and that's Regina.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Yes, you have before you the Council's Draft Irish Language Strategy for the period 2023, it obviously was very much supported by a detailed consultation that we did. The Irish Language Strategy for this period builds upon our Irish Language Strategy of the last 3 years and sets out how the Council will increase the use of Irish language within its functions, facilitate the use of Irish language when communicating with the public and relevant stakeholders, and promote and encourage the development of the Irish language across the Council area. The consultation analysis document and the draft strategy was considered by CMT, by SMT and by the Irish Language Strategy Cross-Party Working Group. Whilst this envisages that the proposed strategy will be delivered within the current resources, both physical and financial resources, issues will be kept under review as the strategy continues to be implemented. So the recommendation is, please, that members are asked to consider and approve the draft Irish Language Strategy 2020-2023. Thank you,
okay. Thank you, Regina. We have a proposal from Councillor Murray, seconded by Councillor Sharvin. Councillor Lewis, you have a question?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for bringing me in. Just we're back here again at the Irish Language Strategy, and I don't think there's been due consideration given to the real objection that there is within the unionist community to the use of the Irish language by this council. And I know every time that I raise this issue, it comes back that I'm being a bigot, that I'm being sectarian, that I'm being this and that, and attacking the Irish language. I'm genuinely not. I like the idea of the Irish bursary scheme. I think that's fantastic. My objection is the Irish language road signs, dividing up areas. One has English road, one has Irish road sign. Now, my understanding to the consultation was, and it hasn't been touched on there, that there were 33 responses in total, so there wasn't a great uptake on the consultation in itself. The majority of those responses were actually negative and against it. 54.5% were negative. I think that there should be greater. And look, I understand the history of the Irish language. I'm not ignorant to that. history of it. But I think that the way that the language is being used is almost being misunderstood, and it's misrepresenting what the language should be. We have continual requests going in for to change road signs within this district, and it is genuinely putting a strain on community relations within those areas. And look, I would like to, you know, take the bull by the horns here and propose that the council don't spend any more money on funding Irish road signs, and actually put that money that there is into a cultural awareness scheme that we can educate, and we can give some sort of light into all cultures within this district, be it the Ulster Scots or be it Irish language, and ensure that's done in a respectful way rather than simply allowing the funding to go forward for translation of road signs, leaflets and whatever else. And look, I can almost write the course now as other councillors come in, and I say this with the genuine, the genuine comments of, I cannot sit here and do conscience allow this to go through without passing comment. I am receiving calls on this daily, text messages on this daily, and people are stopping me on the street whenever they get a letter for their road to be translated into Irish. It would be disingenuous for me to sit here and not articulate their concerns, and I do it in the most genuine spirit that I possibly can. I'm not wanting to attack the Irish. I actually want to respect it, and you'll see that whenever the next item comes up that I agree with the Irish bursary scheme. It's simply this about the translating of the road signs.
Okay. Right. Councillor Walker has said that, although we do need to take the proposal of Councillor Murray saying by myself first, and then take
your proposal. Can I tell
I'm going to take the others first, Councillor Murray, because obviously the other councillors have came in and indicated before you. So, Councillor Enright.
Is my microphone on?
Yep, it is.
I must admit, I have a certain sympathy with Councillor Lewis's position. I've often thought to myself that it's an anomaly that we don't have dual language signings throughout the district, because really we're forced people in hundreds, in fact thousands of streets, to have separate referenda as to whether they want to have a dual language sign. I think it's the settled will of certainly 80% of the people in the district that dual language signs would be a good idea. If all signs were dual language, we wouldn't have the sort of divisive politics that Councillor Lewis talks about, and we could put it behind us once and for all. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Hanlon.
Thanks, Chair. I think Rogan covered that off very well. They shouldn't be seen as being divisive, and they are dual language, and they're not meant to carve up any areas. So, it, you know, as somebody who, you know, has raised her children through the Irish language, I feel, you know, really sad that you feel like that, Councillor Lewis. And, you know, I do think if there maybe is more work needs to be done to help you understand everybody's culture, I think that would be welcomed.
Okay. Barra, I'll take you in now, and then Councillor McKay and Councillor Walker after you.
Okay, yeah. And look, it's nothing new in this council that there are unionist objections to, this isn't Councillor Lewis I'm talking about the respondents to the consultation. So there's nothing new on that. From the new council came together, we've reached out, we've tried our best as the Irish language strategy working group, cross-party working group, has set as one of its main themes outreach on how to engage with the PUL community and how to bring people on board. We talk about being, Councillor Lewis talks about the unionist community being misunderstood and the Irish language being misunderstood, road signs being put up to divide communities, to put border and put, that's not the idea at all. The idea with bilingual road signs
is that where the majority of people who live on a road want to have a bilingual road sign, well, they can apply for that. And, you know, that's always been the way. It's not meant to be. Councillor Lewis, if you live on a road where nobody wants an Irish language sign or a bilingual sign, there won't be one. And it's as straightforward as that. To say then that there should be your reference in the Irish language against the Ulster Scots, I personally would reference the Irish language against the English language. As an Irish language teacher, as an Irish language speaker, as a man who's raising my family in Irish, I don't make objection to there being English language signage. If there was Ulster Scots signage as well, I wouldn't make a fuss about it. I'm a lover of languages. Daily calls on this issue. I live every minute of my day with this issue as well, Councillor Lewis. So I would say, Councillor Lewis, you should come and sit on the Irish Language Strategy cross-party working group, and you should feed in what your constituents are saying to you on the Irish language issues. Make it work from the inside. Don't be sitting outside of that group saying into it what everyone thinks. Come into the group and tell us what they think, and let us work together to try and make that work. But happy to propose recommendations.
Okay. Councillor McKee.
Yes, thanks, Chair, and welcome what Councillor Lewis had raised there. Just this week, I've had a call from somebody in the Dunpatrick area who was unhappy with, she referred to it as a petition going around the houses asking for you to sign this thing so that we could dual language a housing development. So I would love to ask the question, perhaps if an officer will answer the question, what is the criteria that is set down, and what percentage of the population of that road or development has the right to decide whether it's dual language or not? Because this has been something that's been ongoing, and I have listened to more stories of streets of majority unionists to discover that there was Irish language signs had gone up. And again, I have no major fallout with Irish language, but I think you will find that there's signage that be damaged because it had been placed without the authority of the majority of the rules. So somewhere in there, this criteria is set that there has to be a percentage or a number of people, residents, who can decide. And I would also ask that on every street that there's a dual signage name, or even an English signage name if you want, that two, at least, freedom of information, and as a councillor we shouldn't even have to ask for that. Who are the residents of that road, and even what percentage of that road has given their authority to put up the dual language sign? Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to get in the other two councillors first before we get an answer. So, Councillor Walker and Councillor Riley then. So, Councillor Walker first.
Chair, thank you very much. And I concur with what Councillor Lewis has said there. I support what he said. And I do know there is councillors there that will also say, they've said it in the past, that I was been sectarian, I've been a bigot, I've been raising it for a number of years. And effectively, I'm not opposed to the Irish language. I admire Barra. I admire the likes of Cadogan Enright, Councillor Enright. I admire the former Councillor Raymond McConvey. They speak the language in that for, not just for the sake of speaking it, to annoy people, because they like it. It's part of their history, they feel. And Barra knows, whenever I was the last chair of Down District Council, I went to a number of Irish speaking events. My last event was in Down County Museum, talking to 200 Irish speakers in the name places of Lochiel in Irish. And I brought Barra a book back, if he remembers, in relation to it and that. So I'm not opposed to it. What people are saying to me in the street, and unions are saying to me in the street, when they see this, they turn around and say, what money has been spent on unionist loyalist culture, if you want to put it like that? You know, what money has been spent? We see money been thrown at these signs and that. And there is areas. Now, we can't get away from it. Barra has said there that if there is an area that doesn't want it, they'll not get it. But when we were putting the border signage up for the districts and that, they went up. It cost thousands of pounds because in unionist areas they were getting ripped down. I was accused of incitement, because I've always said that it was wrong, that people shouldn't touch council property. If you've got a grievance, raise it with the council. Do not go and get into any acts of criminality in that there. But when people see it out there, they feel that it has been forced on them. Now, the bursary scheme, I don't have a problem with that either in that there, because that's learning young people that want to learn the Irish language. Let them go and let them learn it, just as if someone wanted maybe to go and learn Ulster Scots or whatever. And that, I'm not opposed to it, but because I'm maybe opposed to street signage, that doesn't make me sectarian, or it doesn't make me a bigot.
Okay. Thanks, O'Reilly. Your last one then.
Goramayor Cahilia for Let Me In. The thing that really, and this has been going on for years, and like, if you look at Councillor Alan Lewis, the Lewis surname, Lewis from the Western Isles, pure Gaelic, Riley, pure Gaelic, and we're not against people learning the Gaelic language, but if you look at the historic context of Ulster, on the southwest of Scotland, it's Ullans. It's what's commonly or popularly known now as Ulster Scots. I don't like the term Ulster Scots. I think that's discriminatory. It's Ullans, and we should stick to that. But as Willie Walker has pointed out, Ullans gets absolutely no recognition at all, even though it was the historic language of Ulster, learned before Gaelic came in from North Africa and Southern Europe. So, you know, we have to look at this objectively. We have to treat everybody fairly. And I absolutely agree with Alan. And I understand where Alan's coming from. 30 years ago, I had exactly the same sort of problems as the young councillor that Alan has now trying to confront. And people would say, oh, this is a Gaelga council for a Gaelic people. It's not. Everybody in this council area has the right to be treated fairly. But whenever you prioritise Gaelic against English or Ullans, and I don't call Ulster Scots, I make a fairly pure definition, it's Ullans. It's a cultural recognised language within the beloved European Union of a lot of people on this screen. So please, give us a fair crack at the whip. That's all we're looking. Make sure that we have a Ullans committee established on the council, as the old Nuire an Mhuire council did, and let us propagate the Ullans culture and language in the same way as what Gaelic is. That's only part of esteem. That's all Alan Lewis and Willie Walker's looking. We're not looking anything extra. We're just looking to be treated fairly and equally. I don't think that's too much to ask, Chairman. Okay.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. And I would just add, last year there was a funding amount set aside for, you know, the Unionist Loyalist area. And I think from memory it was around 12,500. So we have, as a council, recognised and taken that feedback on board. And I don't think any party actually voted against it on that particular item. So we have put money into it. And I certainly would want that shared. Councillor Savage, you've just came in last minute.
Sorry, I hadn't hit the return button.
Okay, I'll bring you in if you really bring
the sentiment to those in support. The bursary, I think, does fantastic work. Somebody represents some of the wards in Newry that children benefit from it most greatly. You know, I think the Irish language belongs to us all. I think the more work that can be done to promote the Irish language right across the community has to be welcomed, and I'm very proud of our council's bilingual approach. And I think that we do need to continue the good work that was done through the good relations. And, you know, as somebody who advocated very strongly for that additional fund to be set up, that we should be continuing to use that fund for further outreach right across our very diverse community. And I believe that we should be looking to promote diversity rather than trying to hamper it, and I would be supportive of what's been proposed here.
Okay, thank you. Regina, it might have been easier to have 8 and 9 together because it's crossed to each other, so it has. Right, okay, on the proposal of Councillor O'Meara and seconded by Councillor Sharvin, the officer's recommendation is accepted. So I'm taking that first, and then we will vote on the amendment. So if we can have...
Councillor, can I just provide some point of clarity, if you don't mind?
Yep.
Sorry, it's just in terms of, I think there's a few different aspects going on here, which I just wanted, I'm not taking away from anyone's views on this, but it's before we just get into a vote. So I suppose the report that's in front of you tonight is asking you to vote on the Irish language strategy for the years 2020-23. Contained within that at 2.7 is an element about community engagement, and it is something, and I'm just picking up on one of the points that Councillor Lewis made about educational programmes. We do already cover that as part of our, it's on page 9 of the report, to explore opportunities for good relations. We have an officer dedicated to doing a lot of the outreach work and the community cohesion work in this respect. So it's just to point that out to you that that is already covered in the strategy. I suppose the other thing to say is road signs is not at this covered within this strategy that is in front of you, and the naming and the Irish language of road signs. So I suppose I just don't want to confuse the issues here. The erection of dual signage is something that we do through our development naming policy, which sits within building control. Now it's something that certainly we can look at for you, but it's probably just to make sure we're looking at these. As you say, Gareth, it's all getting a bit confused. We've got the Irish language strategy in front of you. Then we've got the bursary, which is coming up in the next item. And then certainly if you want us to look at Irish language road signs, we can do that. But at present, they don't encapsulate part of this strategy that's in front of you tonight, if that makes sense.
Okay.
And so, Chair, I just want to come in and say on the Irish language road signs, there actually is a policy in council on the road signs that is managed via the Building Control Department and has stipulations around votes, etc., and opinions of the thing. So we wouldn't be wanting any amendments made to that policy. It's a policy that would have to come back individually through council if required.
Right. Okay, so... Councillor Lewis, I know you've made a proposed amendment. Given the feedback from Drina and Marie, would you be accepting to officers to go away and look at the road sign, the development road signs policy, and come back to the committee with a report on that?
Yeah, look, in response, sir, to that, could I then propose that the officers bring back a report on the financial cost of the road signs and what would be and the feasibility of transferring that money from road signs into a cultural awareness program?
Okay, right. So I'm taking Councillor Murray's first, because that's the proposal for this, then that's a separate proposal that we'll take. So can we vote on Councillor Murray's proposal signed by myself first, for and against, unless everyone's in agreement? So, sir, final numbers are?
I have 11 for, 1 against, and 1 abstention.
Okay, so that has passed.
Chair, could I come in? You see, whenever everyone puts up their for or against, whatever it is, it literally blocks my whole side. I can't even get on. If I'm not first in, I can't get in. So, in this case, I'm against, I abstain on this one, okay?
So you're abstaining?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So we'll record, Councillor.
Yeah, I have 11 for, 1 against, and 2 abstentions in.
Okay, you don't need that recorded. So you're all right with that, sir, in the chat? Okay. All right, so that's passed. Then on the proposal from Councillor Lewis that the officers bring back a report to look at the financial cost of road signs and the feasibility of that money going into a cultural awareness program. Do we have a seconder for that? Sorry, first of all. Okay, Councillor Walker's first on my screen.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, so are we all in agreement? Before I have to vote, we're not all in agreement, okay, so can we vote for and against, please, in the chat?
Ask a question, please, Chair.
The vote has started, Councillor Enright, so no, I can't take questions, so if you can vote for or against, or abstain.
Again, I'm for. I'm blocked again here.
How are we doing, sir?
I have 11 against, sorry, 3, 4, 11 against, and no abstention.
Okay, so that has not passed. Okay. Folks, moving on then to item 9, which is the Irish Language Bursary Scheme 2021-2022. So this hopefully won't take as long given we've discussed it, but I'll hand over to you, Regina.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, the Council's Irish Language Strategy Cross-Party Working Group at a meeting on the 26th of August considered a report on the appropriate governance, including applicants' letters of offers and an opening date of a call for applications to the Irish Language Bursary Scheme 2021-22. Now, following consideration and discussion, preferred option of the Irish Language Strategy Cross-Party Working Group was that there be no change to the current status quo and the Council proceed to open the bursary scheme 21-22 in March 2021. So that's the recommendation, Mr. Chairman, that there's no change to the scheme and that we proceed to open the Irish Language Bursary Scheme 2021-22 in March 21.
Okay, thank you, Regina. We have a proposal from Councillor Murray, seconded by Councillor McGuinness. Are we all in agreement? Yes, okay. All right. Thank you very much, Regina. The next one's still you too. next one is the report on the newest motion around the Northern Ireland 100th anniversary. And I'll pass over to you, Regina.
Again, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The following notice of motion was tabled at the Council meeting on the 6th of July 2020. As next year is 2021, the 100th anniversary of the creation of Northern Ireland, Newry, Mourne and Down District Council should seek to secure any funding from Westminster, Stormont or elsewhere that becomes available in the current year or in 2021 to support events in the council area. This motion was discussed, Mr. Chairman, at the Council's Equality and Good Relations Reference Group, and following discussion at that, it was agreed that the Council should give consideration to proceeding to seek to secure any funding from Westminster, Stormont or elsewhere that becomes available in the current year or in 2021 to support events in the council year. And that's the recommendation, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Regina. We have a proposal from Councillor Walker, seconded by Councillor Lewis. But Councillor Murray, you have a question?
Yeah, just a brief one. Obviously, myself and Councillor Clark, Willie Clark, said on that good relations meeting and we weren't at it. Now, if we had been at it, we weren't going to oppose this here. We recognise that everyone has the right to celebrate centenaries and that there. What we would have proposed had we been there, and I suppose we're making a proposal here today, is that probably if we were able to get the money together to have like a panel discussion on partition on the imposition of the border on the island of Ireland, and to have representatives from all the main party, from all the parties, from anyone, and I suppose every party would be able to nominate one and have a real educated, informed discussion where everyone would be able to get their party's views across, and then it would be like an educational thing that you could tie in with schools, maybe politics students studying A-level and that would benefit from it. So to try and tie a bit of education into it as well, and that you would get a mix of views on it, I think it's a great idea. So happy to go along with that, yeah.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Murray. Councillor Walker.
Chair, thank you very much. And I proposed it, and this was in the back of, as you're well aware, the motion that my colleague Glenn Hannah had brought. And the fact is that it's going to be of no cost to the council. We're going out there to seek outside funding. We do now know that the Centenary Working Group has been formed. I think they've had their first meeting in that. There is going to be government funding for the Centenary under the new decade, new approach deal in that. You know, it was included in that there. And this is hopefully a pot of money, not just to celebrate the Centenary. You know, if there have to be talks in that, and events like that there, you know, let's have them. Let's have them. Yes, there's maybe some people such as the Schomburg Society will want to do something maybe in and around, for example, street party or that or something like that. That's what this is about. You know, let's have our talks and that. Yeah, and let's have people that want to celebrate the 100 years of this great wee country doing it and that. So, as I say, I welcome the fact that it is going through, and I do hope that council officials do go out there and seek funding. I've been speaking to my colleagues on the Centenary Working Group, asking them, is there any way we can draw money down? And if there is, that point us in the right direction, and we will certainly draw the money down. And the good thing here is that it's of no cost to the council. So it's not. We haven't been coming with a shopping list and saying we want 10, 20, 30, 40,000 for to celebrate the centenary. You know, we were practical in saying, you know, let's go out there and seek funding, because we know there's going to be funding made available in that. So I welcome it.
Okay. Thank you. And hopefully we'll be in an environment where we can have street parties, Billy. Obviously not in these times. Councillor Enright, you have a question.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, my grandfather was MP for North Cork at the time of partition. And himself and my grandmother told us as children the economic damage that was wrought upon the island of Ireland by partition. And he grieved that Ireland, unlike Canada or Australia or New Zealand, didn't emerge as a fully democratic country with good relationships with Britain in the succeeding decades. And had it not been for partition, we could have had a relationship like Canada or New Zealand with Britain, which would have been healthy. We could have avoided the economic war that was visited on Ireland on two occasions in the 20s, 30s and 40s. It's important that when we're remembering the creation of the Northern Irish state, we must tell the story of how the majority of MPs in Ireland and the majority of MPs in Ulster were against partition. And we need to tell the story of the damage not only to our economy, but to our relationship with Britain that resulted from it. And I'm wondering how this is all going to be picked up as part of this scheme. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Enright. Okay, so we have a proposal from Councillor Walker, seconded by Councillor Lewis. We're all in agreement? Yes, okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Regina. Okay, folks, items 11, 12 and 13 are for noting, and then we're going into closed session, so Let me get my... So the following items are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014, information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may by resolution be excluded during this item of business. So you just need a proposer and seconder to go into closed session, please. Proposed by Councillor McGuinness, seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Okay, so we're in closed session. Do we want to try and invite others back, or?
I've sent them the email to invite them back. I doubt at this stage that they'll come back.
Right, okay, I'll start anyhow because it's being recorded. So while in committee, items of the following were discussed. So item 14, lands at Windmill Business Park, Sainfield, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Brown, seconded by Councillor Walker, that elected members proceed to approve the grant by council to subject to all necessary statutory approvals being obtained of a pedestrian right-of-way across council lands at Windmill Business Park, Sainfield, as marked on the appended map, in favour of the registered owners of the land to the rear of the council properties at no cost or peppercorn rate. The right shall be exercised solely in keeping with the intended use of the lands as a community park, and the SAA shall be responsible for council's associated legal and valuation costs, and a minister's approval would be sought. In parallel, an offer of meeting to all stakeholders to discuss their concerns in relation to the easement. Item 15, the regularisation of boundary issue Ballyhornan, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Hannan, that elected members agree to approve the regularisation of the boundary between the premises at 12 Rocks Road, Ballyhornan, and the council lands contained within Folio 2783 County Down by agreeing to the incorporation of the area highlighted in green on the map in Appendix 3 within the legal boundary of the adjacent property. Item 16, boundary at Church Street Car Park, Downpatrick, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Enright, seconded by Councillor Hanlon. The elected members agreed to approve a recognition of Folio DN8837 Council's title map relating to Church Street Car Park, Downpatrick, in accordance with the position as outlined herein, in order to transfer the area to the legal title of 1012 Scott Street, Downpatrick. Item 17, Bells Lane, Newry, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Savage, seconded by Councillor Murphy, is agreed to approve the following recommendations: to pursue a retrospective public path diversion order under Article 15 of Access to the Countryside, NI Order 1983, to legally divert the path onto the new line of the route, and to engage with the personal representatives of the deceased landowner with a view to regularisation land ownership issues in respect of Bells Lane on the best terms possible. This will include seeking to recoup valuation costs and costs payable by council in respect of the above. Item 18, Ban Road, Castlewellan, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Howell, seconded by Councillor Savage, to approve the following recommendations: approval of additional £30,850.39 for additional spend on the new change in pavilion at Ban Road, primarily due to the need for foul treatment plant entrance steps and ramps and costs associated with site closures due to COVID-19. The additional costs will be added to the budget for this project and will be funded as part of the overall capital programme. Item 19, request to use Martin Row, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Savage, seconded by Councillor Murphy, that members confirm their agreement to proceed with reviewing the accommodation at Mahon Road to determine if any, or if there is any, current future office space that could be used by the Trust, and for officers to continue to liaise with the Trust on the assumption of receiving a commercial rent for the letting of office space. Item 20, date write-off at 31st of March 2020. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Lewis, seconded by Councillor Byrne. The elected members approved the officer's recommendation as outlined in the report, namely to write off debt totalling £59,821.18, deemed unrecoverable. Item 21, Strategic Finance Working Group Action Sheet, 12th of October 2020, is agreed to note the contents of the Strategic Finance Working Group Action Sheet, 12th of October 2020. All right, folks, very long night. Thank you very much. Enjoy whatever's left of your evening, and catch up with you soon. Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you, sir.
Bye. Thank you, Jim. Thanks, Gareth.
Thanks, Gareth.